I'll now hand you over to my best man, Eddie. Wow, wow, wow. Second time's a charm, eh, Billy boy?
Oh, God.
Substitution, courtesy of Paddy Power. Embarrassing Eddie makes way for sensible Samuel.
Cool, that was close.
You might not always pick the right starter, but your sub can still deliver. Because with Paddy's Super Sub, your bet rolls over to the player coming on. Paddy Power.
Valid on selected leagues and markets only. Pre-match and in-play bets on qualifying player outcome selections only. T's and C's and exclusions apply. 18+, gambleaware.org.
The Philly cheese stack is back at McDonald's and it's still intensely cheesy. Imagine the cheesiest thing ever. Now cover it in cheese. Add two beef patties, cheddar cheese sauce, crispy onions, and even more cheese. The Philly cheese stack. Did we mention it's cheesy? Available until the 16th of March 2026 from 11 a.m. Fees apply to delivery orders. Price and participation may vary, subject to availability.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're having a great week. Looking forward to a great weekend. Today is an ALN classic episode. That's right. We're throwing it back to the old days of the podcast. We had some bangers, some hitters, some legends come through the show. So we thought we'd dig deep and throw it back to some of those insane, hilarious, fun episodes. So enjoy the hell out of this episode. Of course, follow the podcast at ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Enjoy the episode. Enjoy your week.
Well, the weekend's over and it's time to chat about it.
It's time to chat about it.
Got a midget and a juice, so why don't you sit down? And
so why don't you sit down and
listen to our dope podcast.
Yeah, dope
whether lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of day. So
come over and treat yourself right. It's about last night. Come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night. Well, come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
That's right. Today on the About Last Night podcast, No guest. Because it's been a while.
Yep.
We've all been traveling. We've all been busy. And haven't had a chance to just sit down, chat with my chum. And when I start another podcast, it'll be called Chat with My Chum.
It has to be.
And it's just me talking to fish food.
What is a chum? Or is chum... Yeah. Oh, chum is fish food.
Yeah, cause it's like sharks. It's chumming the water.
Would you ever be around wild animals? Like, would you go on an African safari?
Yeah. I've had friends that have said that they've done that, and they said that that's the best trip of their lives.
Yeah.
So I need to do that. I swam with sharks in Australia.
Oh, that's right.
That was awesome. Where I was in an aquarium, swimming with sharks, and there were people that were just going to the aquarium that looked up and saw a dwarf in a scuba suit, and I'm sure they were looking around like, "Where's the plaque that tells me what the fuck that is?"
Yeah.
Because I'm not used to that.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of people taking photos. Now we talk about us traveling. You just got back from a really cool trip.
Yeah.
Speaking of swimming with sharks and being underwater and sea life, you were in Hawaii.
I went to Long Beach, California. The Hawaii of SoCal. No, I went to Hawaii, which I've only ever been to for 2 days because when I went there with Divine, which was a short trip, and then before that it was like a layover when my dad lived on Midway Island and Kwajalein, and you had to stop over there.
Okay.
But I get why people like to go there.
Yeah,
it rules.
How long were you there for,
man? So I went to do a show with Dane Cook, and then we stayed in a house that he rented on the North Shore for 5 days. He stayed for 10.
Yeah.
I mean, this house was on a private beach on the north. Like, you literally walked into the backyard.
Yeah.
And then there was a gate.
Yeah.
And then you're on the beach in the water.
Done.
When you do cool things like that, you go, this is awesome.
Yeah.
But there is a part of you that's like, oh, and you definitely can go back to not that experience.
Oh, yeah.
But it's really tough to now go, you mean now I have to like drive to a beach and like make my own food? Because we had a private chef this whole time.
Oh, good Lord.
Making breakfast, lunch, and dinner, which I don't think I'd had a three-meal day since like 98. Like truly breakfast.
Right.
Like, I just don't do breakfast really anymore unless I get up early enough or I'm at a hotel in a city that...
Yeah, you're a hotel. You're like, all right, I'll get a free eggs and bagel or whatever.
If I'm up early enough for whatever reason before the flight, because I'm usually just waking up and rushing out. But if the setup is nice.
Yeah.
Like, what hotel breakfast, what has to be there for you to go, I'll wake up and take some time. Sometimes it's even just the people that are making the breakfast. I'm like, I kind of want to just see what they're like at 7 a.m.
Yeah. But when they have that... Holiday Inn does a pancake machine.
It's like the homemade pancake machine where you put the batter in and then it just comes out as a pancake.
That's awesome.
And that's just pretty solid. Yeah.
That's all they have, though.
I mean. Or is some
cereal. Because I'm like, if you have that, you're either like, all right, that's good enough. We don't need actual water or milk because people will. Or maybe they're overcompensating because they're like, we know there's a lot of cum on these sheets.
Yeah, we know that.
And we're not washing it.
You're sleeping in a lot of cum right now.
But we got a pancake machine.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Who hasn't slept in cum?
I'll sleep in the cum. Yeah. Whatever.
How do I know it's not pancake batter?
I think I rented that two weeks ago. Sleep in the cum.
Yeah.
But those hotel breakfasts and when we're on the road doing stand-up and we have to wake up really early and do radio, sometimes we get back before 10 o'clock,
yeah,
when the breakfast stops, and that's when it's like, cool, I'm gonna get some sausage, maybe a bowl of Fruit Loops,
yeah,
and then I'm going right back to bed,
yeah,
yeah, because I'm gonna knock myself out, have 22 pancakes, then go right back to bed.
There's truly not a time when I won't nap after. I mean, you are a morning person,
yeah,
so you wake up early. I mean, you woke up early even before you had Diego, right?
Yeah, I was always up at like 7:38 now with
and then you nap, yeah?
Yeah, and then I nap around like 1 or 2 unless I'm doing a podcast or something. But yeah, now with Diego, I'm up at 7 a.m. every morning.
Jesus.
He doesn't give a shit if I just went to the Comedy Store. He doesn't give a shit if I partied till 1 o'clock in the morning, whatever. He's just like, hey guys, what's going on? You have to feed me and walk me now.
Yeah.
And he'll sit next to the bed and just whine until you wake up. And then you're like, oh God, okay. And like you want to just say go back to bed, but when there's a dog just kind of looking at you with literal puppy dog eyes,
yeah,
making a whining noise, you're like, I have to do everything in my power to stop this.
Yeah, and so, that's a dog. Like,
yeah,
think about, like, you don't even have a kid. Like, if that,
mm-hmm,
if you had a kid, then that'd be waking you up at, I don't know, fucking 3 or 4 or every 2 hours.
Whenever kids wake up.
Yeah,
we'll figure that out.
Yeah,
I'll read a book.
Yeah.
But yes, you were in Hawaii and like you said, 5 days. It's great. And you did one show there?
Did one show and we went zip lining.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You're not good with, you don't like roller coasters.
Hate them.
How are you with zip lining?
Loved it.
Really?
Yeah. Also,
I'm shocked at that.
I, for whatever reason, thought that there was like a safety net below the whole time. I just never bothered to look. So I created one in my head. And then at the end of it, Dane was pulling up videos of people like that have had like zip line fails,
or
like,
God,
the thing breaks,
yeah,
and they fall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, whoa. And I was like, yeah, well, that wouldn't happen to us. We had the net. And he goes, no, we didn't. And I was like, didn't we have a net? I go, I thought somebody said we had a net. He goes, did you just say that to yourself in your head? And
yeah,
I was like, did I? He's like, there was no net, dude. If that shit broke, you were dropping. And some of these were, the last one was 150 feet high and 2,500 feet long.
Wow.
And they were all very high. And I guess I just...
You just thought there was a,
yeah,
trapeze,
so
artist
I really
net
had
down
no...
there. Oh, my God.
Also, last time I did it, when I was there for Adam Devine's house party, I was stoned. So it was much scarier. But, you know, there are times when you pick up a little speed.
Sure.
And it's like, you know, and if you don't, you know... when you kick back, that's when you get momentum.
Yeah.
So I was sitting upright a little too late and was just flying in and hit the guy like real hard to where like I,
yeah,
bounced off one and then like went back out halfway.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm going to be stuck out here forever.
Oh, that happened to me.
Oh, really?
I went ziplining in Catalina Island and it was their longest one and it's just over jungle, like not really jungle, but you know, just
forest.
Yeah, not a city.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know the nature. I'm very
yeah,
intelligent.
Bushes and sticks.
Smartest, know the best words. Best words. Nature.
Yeah.
Rubbish.
Yeah. Global warming's not real. Look, yeah, at the nature.
Yeah. Exactly. So
nature's not dead. Look at Nature Valley granola bars. Those are around. And global warming's real.
Nature Valley Ranch. Come on. If it was too hot, we wouldn't have any
Hidden
ranch.
Valley
people.
Ranch. Hidden Valleys.
Yes.
We wouldn't have a ranch if there wasn't a valley to be named after it. And global warming kills all the valleys. We know that.
Right. Exactly. But yeah, I went across on this big zip line. Did not make it. I was not heavy enough. So I literally stopped. like midway through, and now I'm just dangling. Yeah, you look down, no nets. So, but now you're in a harness. You got a hook and another hook, and you got like three or four hooks. So you can let go, and you'll just dangle there. But my brain does not know that. So I'm like death grip, like holding on to the thing. Like, no, if I let go of this, I die. And they keep screaming at it, just let go, you're fine. I'm like, tell my hands that. They're not working. So what they had to do is they get this big old sandbag, and they throw it down the zip line. It slams into you. You have to catch the sandbag after it slams into you. First of all, they tell you, put your arm in front of your body to block the sandbag. And you go, what if I don't do that? They go, it'll probably break your nose. And you're like, all right. Fun. We're having fun, everybody.
Yeah. This is what fun looks like.
Yeah. Oh, man. So then they throw the sandbag. It slams into my forearm, which then slams into my nose. So I almost broke it anyway. Didn't, thankfully. Then I have to hook the sandbag onto myself, and then they pull me in. Like, yeah. So that was...
What the fuck?
Yeah. You wouldn't have not done well in that scenario, because I know I didn't.
There's a certain level of ziplining, too, that I don't think I could do. Like, 2,500 feet was... The length wasn't... I don't think I could do... Well, this is, again, why I will never skydive or bungee jump.
Yeah.
There's a certain height that I just...
You're just like, nope.
I mean, yeah, dude, I did the Stratosphere ride in Vegas once.
Oh, yeah, no.
Have you done that?
I haven't. I did the claw one. Which one did you do?
It was, I don't know what it was called, but it shoots you up at 4 G's.
Yeah, straight up.
They told us that spaceships shoot up at 6 G's.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. I just remember that because I was like... They told us that right before, and I was like, we're going up 2 G's less than spaceships.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but that doesn't sound good.
Right.
That sounds like Puke City.
Yeah. Do we stop before, or do we just shoot off? Yeah, and we go, maybe they'll come down.
So there's a chance we're going to the moon?
Yeah.
And, man, it was like the music lights up, and you're sitting, and your feet are dangling over Vegas.
Yeah.
And the view is gorgeous.
Yeah.
If we just sat in the chair and
that's
looked
enough.
At Vegas.
That's enough.
Hey, what a great ride.
Hey, here's the view ride. You stand there and go, hey, look at that.
Yeah. Oh, you're just telling us facts about what spaceships shoot up at? Oh, but we're not actually going to do that?
Cool.
What a great ride.
Yeah, and then
we just, you know, the music goes, and it was like this build up, and you're like waiting, and then it even did this thing where it built to the climax of like what the sound effect was, where you're anticipating that you're about to take off, and then it doesn't, so it's like, and you're like, shit, and now you're just
it
waiting.
It should go now.
Now you're just
now.
Waiting for the moment, and it's and they must time it perfectly, because then there was this moment, and I was next to my mom. And I was just, and it was holding, and I was just like, I think at any second now it's going to, and it just took off. And man, I just was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Up, and then you come back, and then you drop down and shoot back up halfway.
Oh, geez.
And then drop down again.
Yeah, just, no.
Sick for 2 days. I almost threw up my mouth just talking about that right now.
Yeah. There was a, they have the claw ride on. They have multiple rides up there. They have this claw ride where you were like, basically it looks like a giant hand. And you sit like in the fingers, and then the hand is over the stratosphere, and then it rotates. So now it's over nothing. The claw then opens up. So now you're facing straight down, strapped in, and then it spins.
Yep.
And you're like, I've never been scared on a ride before. No. I'm cool with roller coasters. That one was like, nope. No. I'm out.
Yep.
I'm done.
No thanks.
Yeah, I'm out.
Six Flags, you've been to that?
Yeah.
You've been a lot.
Yeah.
Because you love coasters.
Yeah, I love coasters. And despite the obvious stereotypes of me not being tall enough to ride them.
You are.
I am tall enough to ride them. Yeah. And I'm especially tall enough to ride them since we played in the NBA All-Star game and got those shoes, the Nike Air Maxes that have like the 2 inches...
Wow.
Yeah, fuck you, Six Flags.
Yeah, they're not checking for
when you see me come in my teal shoes that have a 2-inch lift. Woo!
That's amazing.
That's dwarf steroids, man.
Yeah, because what if they were like, take your shoes off?
Yeah, you're like, no, you take your shoes off. It is my custom of the dwarven people that we never take our shoes off. Yeah. How dare you? Yeah. Would you tell that Sikh guy to take off his turban? Same thing.
Yeah. Do you want 7 years bad luck?
Yeah, I would. I would totally do that. Totally do that.
Is there a coaster though that comes out or that you see? Because look, there are videos of people falling off roller coasters.
Yep.
Or not being strapped in and dangling.
Yep.
Before they fall.
Yeah.
That doesn't deter you from wanting to.
Nope. I always go in with the blissful ignorance that they wouldn't let us do it if there was some chance something bad could happen.
Guess what?
Meanwhile,
yes, they will.
Yeah. I've worked at Disneyland. bad things have happened at Disneyland.
Here's what they do. They just go, ah, what is that? One in a million?
Yeah.
Go, actually, do you remember 3 months ago the same thing happened? All right. What? Two and 3 months? What are the odds?
Yeah.
And then actually, I don't know if you remember this, but 2 years ago, there was a kid that, okay, all right, so three in 5 years. Well, actually, then right before that, there was the kid who fell out. They saved him, but he still fell out because the seatbelt was too loose. Okay, so four.
Yeah, he thankfully landed on Baloo's belly. But other than that, he would have died.
Baloo got a hemorrhage, so still there were some casualties. All right, well, I guess we should shut the park down. There's never going to be a moment, though, where a park does, like, one... And also, people are not going to stop going, you know?
Yeah.
It's just there's too much money to be made, and there's too many people that want to that experience and want that escape, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like at a comedy club, if, like, one, you know, you get one Michael Richards, that wasn't going to stop people from going.
Yeah.
In fact, it might have made people want to go more, because they're like, hey, what other white comic wants to roll the dice? this might not be a one-time thing.
Yeah, they're like,
ooh. Former TV star might want to...
If we could see the moment someone's career ends... Yeah,
I think Paul Reiser's got some baby-killing jokes.
Just like some back of the head, just like, you know what? I've got my Mad About You money. Let's fucking talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. It's funny you mentioned the Six Flags, because I have a pass, which is good for any Six Flags all over the country and all over the world, because when I was in, I just got back from the Montreal Comedy Festival,
right?
And they have a Six Flags there. So I went to Six Flags, because I had one day off, so I was like, all right, let's go to Six Flags. It was great.
Who'd you go with?
With Gina Brion. And she's great. She's hilarious. And
loves coasters.
Loves coasters. It was a great time.
You can't go to Six Flags with somebody that's just kind of like, yeah, I don't mind them, right? You got to be all in.
You got to be all in that. And you don't want to be the guy that's like, you really want to go on the coaster, and then your friend's like, I don't really.
Yeah, you see
I
it.
I don't really like. I I'm know. Not really, and you're like, ah.
No, I've been that guy. It sucks.
And I used to be that kid, because I hated coasters until I saw another dwarf ride one. I was like, oh, I can't use that as an excuse? Fuck.
That's amazing. I thought, so that was your reason for being scared.
Yeah. I was like, it's not going to be good for little people. And then I saw another dwarf ride, and I'm like, well, shit.
That's my excuse.
Yeah, if you're like, no one can use that thing. Yeah. It'll kill you. Yeah. And then you see like 9 people use it. You're like, all right.
Yeah.
Shit.
How was the, I heard you roasted the Sklar brothers.
I did.
And I heard that was pretty epic.
It was a lot of fun. I found out a couple days before, the Sklar brothers, my good friends, they're great. And it was fun to roast them. It was fun for them to roast me. I was glad because I can't remember what jokes they did specifically, but I know they didn't do jokes specifically that were like just dwarf jokes. They didn't just do dwarf jokes. Yeah, so they...
Because that's, when you have roasted, that's the easy... I mean, it just...
Yeah.
Even with the Nikki Glaser rap battle,
yeah,
most of them were geared towards that.
Yeah, so it's nice if someone goes after something else, and they, since they know me so well, they did their research. They,
what did they slam you with?
I know they did something... About something like Brad's wife is half Asian and Brad is half, and it just stopped. That was a good one.
That's great.
I like
how
that
much
one.
Did they trade off? Like, did one of them say a whole punchline?
Oh, see, that's the thing when you go against the Sklar brothers in a roast is it's really a 2-on-1 handicap match, and I have an actual handicap, so it really was a handicap match because they both get a roast joke in, so it's like a 2-for-1 deal.
Oh, dang.
Because they just talk so fast.
And that's
you can't,
why they won, right?
I mean, they're good.
Were their jokes good?
Yeah. They were good.
What was the best thing, do you remember, that they said to you, and what was your best joke to them?
I don't remember the best one they had, but I remember I let off with the Sklar brothers and I are exact opposite. They're Jewish twins from the Midwest, and I think black people are human. So I like that one.
That's good.
That was a good one. But yeah, they won. But I wasn't done with roast battle. Now this was fun. There's a puppet whose name is Randy.
Yes.
He's a purple puppet. He does stand up. He looks like a Muppet, but he's not a Jim Henson creation, so he's not a Muppet. He's a puppet. And the guy that does Randy is fantastic.
How popular is this comic puppet? Because I've never heard of him.
He's an Australian guy.
Gotcha.
So he's big down there. He's big down under. And then
he does sold out theaters. And
And he just did something on American television.
Bring the Funny.
Bring the Funny. Yes, he did. Bring the Funny.
Because I remember I saw. I think I texted you this too. I was like. Yeah. Reagan and Watkins, Jeremiah and Pat Reagan,
yeah,
didn't get passed, and then the puppet did, and I was like, do you? What do you do after that? Like, what do you? You know you're talented. You know you're.
Yeah.
You have a future.
Yeah.
You've made a lot of progress in the last couple of years. Yeah. But you go on a competition show, and they go, guys, you're going home. But Perry the puppet, or what's his fucking, whatever.
Randy.
Randy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Randy, but also, it's, you know, again, like the, it's a, not like a one time, it's like some 5-year old doing a shitty ventriloquist.
Yeah, he's really it's good.
A, yeah.
And so we did this thing where I was done. I was eliminated, but I came back to watch Roast Battle because it's awesome. Yeah. You had the Sklars, you had
Jimmy Carr.
Jimmy Carr, who's just so fucking good and a great hang. So yeah, that was the show that everyone went to after all their shows were done. Would they go to the Roast Battle? So we went, and Randy, the guy who controls Randy, just looks at me and goes, hey, do you want to like fuck around? And I go, yeah, sure. I'm always down to play. So when we walk out, he's got this big old cardboard thing that he goes under. I walked out with the cardboard, but I was not seen by the audience. So then I was just hanging out behind the cardboard as I'm watching Randy do his thing. And it's really amazing to watch. When you're behind there and you see how he does, it's amazing to watch this. That guy is ridiculously talented. And he's roasting K. Trevor Wilson, who's a fantastic roast comic. Just a good dude from Canada. He looks like every Canadian stereotype.
Yes.
Think of a Canadian stereotype. There's K. Trevor Wilson.
Yeah.
That's who he is. So Randy does this thing where he goes, you know what, because you're supposed to hug at the end of every roast battle.
Yeah.
So he goes, you know what, we've done this thing back and forth, and I don't want you to hug the puppet. That's weird. So you know what, I'm going to come out. I never do this. I'm going to come out. I don't want you to hug a puppet. So then he brings down the puppet, and then I pop up.
Holy
so
shit.
Everyone thought that I was, and the place went nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Place went nuts. The look on Pete Holmes's face. Pete Holmes was judging. Pete Holmes was just like, the fuck, what? Yeah. Like, it's Brad? Like, yeah. And he had no idea. So I go, and I hug K. Trevor, and then we timed it perfectly. I went down. Puppet went back up. And then,
holy shit.
Yeah, we did a cut.
There's no reason, because it's like,
yeah.
Again, there's no reason. And whether it's dwarf stereotype or not, there's no reason, especially like when it's, you know, like you see Pete all the time and talk to him all the time. So there's no reason why that info would have been divulged at any moment where you're like, yeah, I'm doing this puppet thing now.
Yeah, and why wouldn't I be able to? The only thing that's different is it's just a voice that's different.
Yeah.
It's just an Australian accent. Yeah. I could do something that resembles it. I'm not going to pretend this is an Australian accent. It's not.
That sounds like Eric Bana's brother, Barry, Barry Bana.
Oh, fuck. Barry Bana. We got Barry? Damn it. But so then we did that same trick one more time where it popped up one more time. And then, Michael Che was one of the judges. He was going nuts. Pete Holmes was going nuts.
Oh, my God.
When the thing is done, Lil Rel walks to the backstage area and goes, oh shit, man, that was crazy. Like, Che and Holmes think you're the puppet, but he pauses and goes, you're not the puppet though, right? And because I come from a Disney background where you always keep it going, I go, what do you mean, Randy's the puppet? And he goes, well, right, but like you're not controlling the. But I'm like, no, Randy controls Randy. What are you talking about? Randy was doing the jokes. And the look on Rel's face is just like, wait, what the fuck is happening right now? Because that's what you're trained to do at Disney, where when someone comes up to you and goes, hey, so does the person inside Goofy get hot? You go, Goofy might get hot. Sure, it's a hot day, but...
Yeah, but the guy in Goofy, because you know there's a guy.
There's a guy...
The guy in Goofy.
Like his conscience?
No, man, like the guy with the hat. He's the...
Goofy has a hat? Yeah.
So the guy under the Goofy mask.
Mass, I don't know what you're talking about, sir. Goofy's Goofy. He's
you're
right,
telling
he's right
me
here.
That Goofy's real?
I mean, yeah, as real as you
Brenda,
and I.
Brenda, Goofy's real. You owe me $10.
Yeah, so I was just doing that with Rel, and his face was just like, what the fuck?
There is that commitment you're just reminding me of to the character, the idea of characters at theme parks, but also the jobs. I went to the Islands of Adventure in Florida once, and I was trying to, with a big group, I'd broken off and was trying to figure out how much time I had before I need to get back to before we take off, and I wanted to ride the Jungle Cruise. And I asked the lady, I go, hey, how long is the Jungle Cruise ride? She goes, well, it's a 2-week journey into Africa. And I go, Okay. How long is the ride itself? She goes, 2 weeks, you'll be back. Just if your bags are all packed, we'll just go. I go, please, stop. I have 45 minutes to get back to my group.
Mm-hmm.
If the ride's 15, I'm a good 15 to get back to the front of the park. That leaves me time to spare. This, what's happening right now, not helping because we're wasting time.
Yeah.
She tell me, how long? She goes, 14 days, sir. I go, God damn it. Cut the shit. Linda, I know this isn't real.
Yeah, funny now, but in the moment, insanely frustrating.
I was so frustrated. And then she just takes a beat. I go, please. I go, I want to do this ride. I don't have time. I know it's not real. Most of these animals aren't even going to be there. I've seen this shit before.
Yeah.
You're going to call out to for us to look at giraffes when there are, guess what? No giraffes.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be like, all right, well, just Google the picture one. It's the same shit.
Yeah, and you're going to make the same jokes you make on every ride where there's a bunch of elephants, and you go, hey, you know, you can ride in it. You can ride an elephant. There's no air conditioning, but plenty of trunk space.
Oh, my God. Is that a real Jungle Cruise joke?
That's a Jungle Cruise joke.
You know, they're making a Jungle Cruise movie.
They are.
I'm sure. I want to say The Rock or Kevin Hart are in it.
Probably both of them.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't think Hollywood's allowed to make a movie now that doesn't have either The Rock or Kevin Hart or some combination of The Rock and Kevin Hart in it.
The Rock is truly, like, just, there's nothing I think that is wrong with his life.
Yeah.
I would love to know what actually stresses him out. Money? Nope.
Nope. Got that.
Work? Nope. Got a girl. Eating food, fine.
Egg whites, maybe.
Yeah, fine.
I don't know.
Yeah, physicality, fatigue, maybe. Maybe just not enough sleep. But I also feel like he's probably doing the Rogan hyperbolic chamber shit.
Yeah, where
if
he's just
if
like
you're moving and shaking that much. I feel like, and you know,
I'm sleep. I'm,
what is the Michael Jackson thing you can do that won't kill you? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the propofol
right, equivalent?
The that is safe.
The propofol equivalent would be a great horror movie title
or a Harrison Ford movie.
Yeah.
I will go see the propofol.
The propofol equivalent. Give me something strong that'll put me to sleep, but won't kill me.
The penitent man. Penitent man will pass.
What does that mean, by the way?
Penitent man will pass?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it was in.
You sure you didn't say Paddington Bear has gas?
Paddington Bear has gas.
That's another one of those Mandela effects.
Penitent man has gas.
Yeah, Penitent Man Will Pass is from Indiana Jones. In
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
No, the third one, Last Crusade. Which,
that's what I meant to say.
Yeah, yeah. With
that's the one with the
Sean Connery is the dad.
Yes.
I named the dog Indiana.
That's the best one.
Yeah, I love that one.
That's the one with the where he gets in the whip fight and then the guy backs into the plane.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes, yes.
And that's
wait,
the one.
No, Raiders.
That's Raiders.
That's Raiders.
Well, but it's the one with the cup. You
chose.
Yes.
Wisely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the guy
that scene is
disintegrates,
by the way.
Yeah.
Because they're all, and even the girl member, she's like, I've got it.
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on. He's like, Elsa, honey, put the cup down, damn it. Andy, come on. I have it. We can go. Don't do it. And then she drinks from it or no?
Then she, and I only know this, and I'll tell you why, because I just saw this movie, and it made me cry. And it has never made me cry before.
The beginning of that movie is unbelievable.
Yeah.
The train, young Indy on the train.
And it's played by River Phoenix.
Whoa.
But R.I.P. yeah. So, she brings the cup, she brings the grail past the seal, and the knight says the grail cannot go past the seal. And when it does, then the whole temple like collapses.
Right.
So they have to get out of there. But it made me cry because there's a scene in there where they're fighting on a tank. They're just fighting on a tank. And the edge of the cliff is coming up, and they're like, "Oh shit, we all gotta get off the tank because the fucking cliff." And it's like three against one, against one Nazi general. But the Nazi general's stubborn because you know Nazi.
Oh my god!
That's what I think. That's the main stereotype of Nazis is that they're very stubborn.
It's a little too Nazi.
Yeah, a little too Nazi. Oh, I would watch that sitcom,
Nazi or Yahtzee, this fall on ABC Family.
So they're all fighting, and they all get off, and it's just Indiana and the Nazi fighting, and the Sean Connery, the two other guys, I forget who they are. They watch Indy and the Nazi and the tank all go off the cliff, and the tank rolls around,
right.
Explodes. It's this whole thing, and they're just looking at the tank like, he's gone, and you just see Sean Connery start welling up and going, I lost him, I never told him. And like, because he's been joking around.
He thought Indy died.
Yeah.
That's right.
And he's been joking around. And he's been like very critical of him.
He never got to see Dragonheart.
Lucky bastard. And then
I wanted to tell him he was the man now, dog.
And there's then Indy kind of stumbles up behind him. He got out at the last second, stumbles up behind them, looks over the cliff like, what are you guys looking at? And then they just pop up and see him, and you just see the joy on Connery's face, and he goes, I thought I lost you, boy. And then Whoa. He like gives him a big hug, and I just started crying.
Whoa.
And I started crying. Yeah. And I've seen that movie a dozen times.
Dang, what was happening that got you so emotional?
Well, I know exactly what's happening. And it's actually the reason why I decided that we should do this podcast today. And I was like, yeah, we haven't done one just us in a while.
Yeah, because we had a guest, and then you said, I want to cancel it.
Yeah, let's do one just us. And
which, by the way, we haven't done one just us forever. So yeah, it's like,
it's nice.
I mean, when we started, it was like, this is what we did all the time.
And yeah.
We were like, all right, we're starting to meet some cool people.
Yeah.
Probably have him to my shitty apartment. We need a picture of Craig Ferguson on my stair stepper.
Yep.
We need Bob Saget to call my grandpa's chair a schmegma chair.
Yeah, we need a...
Which, by the way, schmegma means like that's like some sort of like pre-cump, like it's...
Dick paste? I don't know.
Dick paste. It was, whatever it was... It,
dick paste, private eye.
I took offense to it, but I was like, it's Saget. Dick paste, it's private eye. The name's Paste. Dick Paste.
Private Eye. And we had you had Sebastian Maniscalco make fun of your trophy.
Which, by the way, in moving,
yeah,
it broke.
And
so I tossed it.
See, we're all growing up, Adam Ray.
It was a grow up moment when it fell out of the car and kind of snapped, and I was like, it's a sign, because I picked.
Yeah.
I also, it's funny when something happens. And you're like, yeah, I like that trophy. It was a funny, Jeff Dye was going to break it. It was our third place. It reminded me of that first year of the Comedy Basketball League.
Yeah.
And I was like, third place. And he was like, take a vine of me, I remember, of breaking it.
Yeah.
I was like, no, let's keep it. I go, whatever, I will always remember this time.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't remember this time. I was like, this is a great time. And so he's like, the time you ruined my vine? And I was like, no, the time of this is great.
Yeah.
And so when it kind of snapped in the back of my car, I literally went, wait, no.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, I really... was bummed it for a minute, and then I just go, that's new. It's a new beginning. It's the next chapter.
Yeah,
it's a time to, you're buying a place, and maybe it's going to be a trophy-less place.
Yeah,
so and, that Sebastian can never make fun of it.
And and God, it's so appropriate you're saying all that, because the main reason why I wanted to just hang out, just you and me, and the reason why I'm so emotional all the time now, Jasmine's pregnant.
What?
We're having a kid.
What?
We're having a baby girl.
Oh.
Brad Williams is going to be a dad.
Whoa.
Yeah. My dick works.
That's the first thing I was thinking. Whoa.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
Whoa.
Yeah, whoa, buddy.
Wait a second.
This is what it'll feel like.
It's an audio.
This is what it'll feel like.
There, we have the camera set up right now. Adam is rocking me back and forth.
I want to know what it feels like. My dick doesn't work. Oh my god.
Yeah, dude. Buddy,
man,
we're doing it.
I'm so pumped for you, man.
Yeah, man.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's why you've been so emotional.
Yeah, because now...
Oh, my God.
Now you see
oh.
stuff like that happen in movies and TV shows with moms and dads and parents, and I just go, holy crap, that's going to be me.
Dude, you made me cry.
Yeah.
See? I thought I lost you, boy.
I told you. It's just emotions. You're like, what is this salty discharge? It's tears. Yes, tears of joy.
By the way...
It's cool.
You've... You were lighter in picking you up right there. I feel like you're already prepping. It's like she's putting the baby weight on. You're
yeah,
dropping
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I'm dropping it. Well, thank my dog for getting me up at 7 o'clock in the morning to take him for a walk, and also because my wife is having some morning sickness, which is completely normal.
Yeah.
So wait. She's
all right. I have so many questions.
Fire away, because now I'm fresh with the answers. I didn't have them before. But I've read books now.
Oh my God! Okay,
I've read the What to Expect When You're Expecting. I've read the other book that which.
What if you read all the books and you were like, I read The Chosen.
I read The Secret. I read Clear and Present Danger. Tom Clancy. I'm ready to be a dad.
Guess what? Yeah, that's so funny. No, I read The Fugitive.
Yeah.
Wait.
Exactly.
So okay, have you seen?
Mm-hmm.
What was the first? When you found out, like you go to the doc, right? They do the ultrasound and then they pull it up on the screen.
Well, first of all, we found out.
They just send you a text like, your dick works. A picture of of one sperm, like, but it's like, you know, you just have to, what do they send you?
Well,
they call you in.
Yeah, well, here's what happened first. Is first, we had some, I'll just say it. We had a missed period, so we're like, okay. And it went
a miscarriage.
Too long. No. Well,
a missed period.
Well, I'll get to that. Okay. But yeah.
What's a missed period?
It's where the girl doesn't have a period. There's no.
I don't know. You don't have to be a dick about it.
But so like we go, okay, now normally.
That's usually a sign of.
Yeah. So we go and we get the test and she pees on the stick. And
are you there for that?
I was there for that.
Yes.
And then. She goes, I can't look at it. I can't. Like, I'm nervous. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to think something and hope for something. And because this is the goal. We've been trying. I say, I'll do it.
You'll pee on the stick.
I'll pee on the stick. No. I'll go look at the test. So I go look at the test. And I have a good feeling. So I cue something up on the Bluetooth speaker. And I go in and I see the test. It says very clearly, pregnant.
Whoa!
I'm immediately happy. I turn, I hit the button, and now she's standing in the room. And over the speaker, you hear, "Well, I just heard the news today.
No way.
Seems my life is gonna change." And she immediately starts crying and cursing me, just being like, fuck you.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Why would you do that?
You made the moment and ruined it in the same beat.
And I did that, and we just hugged. And
Scott Stapp came out of the closet.
He did. Yeah. He was there.
Both literally and figuratively.
Yeah, I didn't hire him. He was just sleeping there. He's been coming on tough times.
Wait, so did she... Who's her first call? Or do you make the first call?
Well... We don't call anybody, and the reason why we don't call anybody is because, and I at one point I'll talk in greater about this, but it actually really helped. The Sklars were amazing with this, and I'll explain why all that makes sense in a second. We had been pregnant before, we had a miscarriage, it was horrible. When you hear about people having miscarriages, it's very detached. It's very like, all right, so you didn't have a baby. No
big
deal. Because
usually they've been able to have one since.
Yeah, but you had one.
It's almost like you got a bad meal at a restaurant. Like, yeah, but they brought you a new sandwich, right?
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, but that was my, yeah, it's weird. And it's painful and it's horrible. And because you build yourself up to, I'm gonna be a father. We're gonna have a kid, and then all of a sudden that is taken away from you. And
how far along was she?
What happened was we missed the periods. We took the test. We did everything. We called the doctor. We said awesome. And then she peed in the cup or whatever with the doctor. The doctor said yes, you're pregnant. And then they did. And then so then we waited. And then a few weeks later, after that, we did an ultrasound. And then what they found was they put the scope in there, and there was a sac where the baby is supposed to be growing, and there was just no baby. So it's horrible. And it's heartbreaking. And if anyone is currently going through this, please feel free to reach out to me. Also, the reason why I brought the Sklars is because Jason's wife runs a Instagram page for women who have had who have had miscarriages, and it's really fantastic. And I would suggest if you're going through it to visit this page. It really helped us out. We went to, I'm not going to lie, I'll be completely open about this. We went to some group therapy because it messes you up, man.
You lose a, you feel like you lost a potential.
Yeah.
I mean, even though it's, you know, I don't know, you didn't get to have a conversation or have any real moments
but
with it.
You had the moment of this is it.
Yeah.
And that's why you don't tell anyone, is because you don't want that, you don't want to have to then make that next phone call and have to tell them now there's no baby, and now maybe you're just getting over the grief, and now you're kind of reintroduced to it.
Right.
When you tell someone, and then they tell you, like, oh, and then now they're grieving.
Yes.
And you're helping them. So yeah, that was a really hard thing, and so we didn't tell anyone once we found out that she was pregnant, and we made the appointment with the doctor, did the same thing, ran all the tests, everything good, and then we make the appointment. Now this is the day, because the last time we went in for the same procedure, camera went up and there was no baby. So we're just watching this screen going like, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
Almost like Apollo 13. Remember when it was entering the Earth's atmosphere again?
Yeah.
The sky, remember when they were watching?
Exactly like that. But yeah.
I mean, I feel like you're kind of sarcastic, but give me a better example.
and we're just watching the screen, and he turns the thing, he turns the camera, and you just see the sack, and you saw a head, and you saw what looks like a body, and you saw, like, it's not fully formed. It's
was he doing any sort of, like,
the size of a
thumbs up? Wait, by the way, I haven't asked.
Girl.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's gonna be a girl. And they do the.
Do you have any preference?
No. None.
You don't, right? Because you hear, like my brother-in-law and sis, when they were having their one kid that was with each other and not from a separate situation, my sister wanted, because she had obviously my nieces, so she wanted a son.
Yeah.
And so, Tim, my brother-in-law, has my nieces and then two of his own girls.
Yeah.
So
he wanted a son too, probably.
Even though he has an older son, but another, like a younger.
Yeah, you want the baby son.
But some people, a lot of people don't care. If it's their first, I guess.
Yeah. Right?
So first, if you've had many.
Don't care. Don't care.
You just want happy, healthy.
Just want happy, healthy. And I've had friends have both boys and girls, and it's fine. It's great. I've seen pros and cons to both. I've seen everything. So I've no preference. And
what was it like, real quick? I'm sorry you were going on that path, but seeing in the sack once her head turned, what?
Burst in tears.
Yeah.
Burst in
tears. Can you even describe what that's like? No.
It's just like they talk about parental instinct, and that you don't think you're going to be a parent until you're a parent. And now a switch flips in your head. And I would say here's what it felt like seeing the now fetus. Nothing else in your life matters. Nothing.
Yeah.
There's the most intense relief you've ever had in your life, followed by every worry, everything that bothered you, everything that you were concerned about. Like, oh, I may not get this set tonight, or I think this other comic doesn't like me, or whatever. I'm not getting the guy did the paint job on the room wrong. You don't care. It all melts away, and your singular focus in that moment becomes, this is my child. I'm going to do anything and everything in my power to make sure this child has a good life. And that I cannot describe to you, but that is an instantaneous reaction where you just become hyper focused, hyper aware, and now nothing else matters. And that has continued. Now when, you know, we're now just past the first trimester, and that's when they tell you can start telling people.
I was going to say, I'm glad, because you do also as a close friend go, all right, I want to know, like, as soon as appropriate, but I'm glad to know now. And not you'd be like, she had it 2 days ago.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, you piece of shit. I guess I'm not in your top eight on MySpace.
Yeah, exactly. No,
because this is the safe zone of where, like, you're in the clear, like, everything is going according to plan.
Yes.
Names. What did you give me? What you went through, and then what you settled in on?
Okay, because we because we do have one. Here's the thing with the names. I am a very traditional person. I like names like Christine or Ellen or Leia or something that's...
Leia?
Maybe. That's
Is that traditional?
Leia? Leia? I think that's traditional.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
What if you were like, I'm traditional. I like names based on characters from films that I would fuck. Leia. Or TV show hosts I once thought I knew their sexual orientation.
Yeah. Leia. April O'Neil. who is the mouse from Rescue Rangers? The girl mouse.
Wow. Gidget? Gadget.
Gidget or Gadget? Yeah.
Inspector Gadget.
Penny. No, she was a girl. She was a girl.
She's also 12.
Very inappropriate. Yeah. Very inappropriate. So no, not that one. That was a joke. That was wrong.
Jessica Rabbit.
So yeah, all that. So I'm into the traditional names.
Jasmine.
My wife, not into traditional names. She's from San Francisco. She wants our child to have a very individual name. So she's throwing things out like Persephone. And I'm like, you mean Stephanie? She's like, no, Persephone.
So funny. Please tell me that's in the act. Is it not?
I have so many things jumbling around in my head that are like,
by the way,
working its way in.
Yeah. Like, let's be honest. This is so beautiful and amazing.
Yeah.
But now, quickly, putting the comic goggles on, I mean, there's probably an hour plus.
Oh, yeah, of just all this.
Because even just that, I'm like, the name, because here's the thing, man. Every comic that's had kids, and there's a lot of them, and there's a lot of them with great, brilliant bits.
Yeah.
But here's the great thing about stand-up. You're doing it through your eyes.
Yep. So it's the
this
only...
This is your perspective.
Yeah, so it's the only thing that matters
and
to me.
How many dwarf comic fathers are there? There's could be... Here's the thing that I didn't even think about.
Yeah.
Because... A majority of the experience is going to be like most dads would go through. But your wife brought up to me, she's like, there's things that we didn't truly think about because you're just not thinking about it yet. But like, making the dresser, or I'm sorry, the I can put your baby in a dresser. The what is it?
Put him in a drawer.
Crib.
The
crib.
Crib's
at a level and size for you to be able to access your child.
And we talked to you about that, like as we were just thinking about being pregnant. So yeah, because there's certain adjustments that have to be made. A changing table.
Yes.
Like I've already had a conversation with someone that goes, oh, you can just use my changing table. And I go, great. And then I looked at it, I'm like, there's no fucking way I can use that. It's way up high. I can't do it.
Yep.
And I don't want to be on a stool with the kid because the stools could fall over. You could lose balance. Yep. I don't want to do that. So
Persephone, you go, what else you got?
Yeah.
And by the way, you mean Stephanie? It's so funny.
Yeah, you mean Stephanie? No, Persephone.
Like, what are there other names you could have thought she said to?
It's some Greek goddess or something. Okay. Which it's like, okay, good.
Great.
But that's going to happen her whole life when they go like, what's your name? She goes, Persephone. You're like, Stephanie, right? No. And then she's going to have to correct him.
The Greek goddess. And they're going to be like, Zeus?
Yeah. Yeah. So she wanted a bunch of like interesting names like that.
What else? What was another hippie-ish name?
Oh man. What was it? It was just like, she's really into Greek mythology. So there was a lot of like those kinds of names.
But nothing too crazy. Like, you know how Jason Lee had Flight Inspector,
or Pilot Apple Inspector, Apple,
even Northwest for Kanye and Kim.
Crime,
Dog McGruff. Who's
that? There was Penn Jillette has Moxie Crime Fighter. That's his kid's name.
Sweet Jesus,
Moxie Crime Fighter.
I am nervous for my kid. I'll be honest. When I have it, I'm going to say it right now. I'm nervous for my future child.
Raphael Donatello Ray.
You're not too far off. Splinter Junior.
Yeah, Splinter Junior. It's like it doesn't have to be a Splinter.
Somebody goes,
first.
You mean Disney Junior?
Yeah. Like, no.
Splinter Junior.
Splinter Junior.
Yeah. There's something very special about the naming of the child, and I also think you can overthink it.
Sure.
And so I think you have to at some point look at like, what do I like? What do I think they're going to have no say in the matter. So you're truly getting to, it's what you want the kid to be called.
Yeah.
And you're almost like, you know, thinking about what you like in your life together that maybe like some people name, you know, after, you know, family members that like, this is what was my grandpa's middle name or something.
There's a lot of things you think about. You think, okay, what does this rhyme with? Because that's how they'll be teased on the playground. Yes. Like, okay, does this sound too close to a swear word?
Yeah.
Is this? And then you think to yourself, is this the name of a CEO? Do you say, whoa, like, oh, who's running the company?
Persephone.
Yeah, Persephone. It's like,
No, she's cleaning the rooms that the company meetings are happening in.
In some of the hippie names where they're like, oh, who's running it? Destiny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, you mean she's dancing at the corporate party.
That's right. Yeah, come to the main stage. It's Destiny, everybody. Everybody, come on in. Get those dollars out for Destiny.
You know, my mom wanted to name me Sam, but they couldn't see the penis in the sonogram. Now it's just, you can't miss it. But so they were going to go with Rachel at one point. Because I guess I was trying to pull the old Steve-O tug it between the legs trick.
Sure, why not?
I was trying to be a comedian, even the
joke,
world.
Day one.
And so I was going to be Rachel Ray.
No shit.
Yeah, dude. At one point, my folks thought they were going to give birth to the second Rachel Ray. Do you know what my life would be like?
Oh, my God.
I mean, would I get teased or would I get celebrated? Would people be like, would my insults be like, hey, why don't you make me some fucking pasta in under 10 minutes, bitch?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, I'll do it in six. And I'll suck your dick.
Think about that.
You know?
So there is, you try to think of all that. And then, so we're thinking of all these names, we're throwing them all out there. And it's not going well. And then my wife says a name where we're in my house and she's looking around. She sees something I have on the wall, and she stops and goes, what about Elway? Because I have a giant John Elway jersey on my wall. And I pause and go, Elway Williams. And she goes, you can call her El. You can call her Ellie. I go,
can call her.
Yeah. Yeah, that works.
Whoa. And that's what it is?
That's the name.
Whoa.
That's the name. You question my fandom now.
Oh, my God. I mean, that literally, and you know what's, here's the thing about that. Because when you first said that, I go, no fucking way.
Yeah.
And then I said it and I go, because again, when a name becomes so prestigious and so dominant in your brain as one thing, you only know it as that.
Yeah.
So I hear Elway and I think John Elway.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
But I don't think of that as a first name for a girl.
Right.
Now I am, and I love it.
Yeah, and then you stop, and you think about it, and you go, oh, yeah, that works. So,
and it's not named after, you know, it's not like you're, it's just, but
it's a cool
inspired
name,
by.
Inspired by, yeah. So,
which is cool, because she will, you know, YouTube John Elway at some point.
At some point.
Or other cool Elways.
Yeah.
Whatever the Google search is.
Right, and I would say this, John Elway, please, don't make me a fool for doing this. Please don't have a moment like all the women or all the people that named their daughters ISIS 15 years ago and now can't. They're like, oh, you mean the terrorist organization?
Yeah.
Don't be this person. You know,
stay in a positive role in society.
Yeah,
continue.
This is my son, Cosby Anderson.
Oh, God.
Like, you don't want that. So please, I'm begging you, John Elway.
Have you met my daughter, Harvey Weinstein II? She's married, and my son-in-law, Jared from Subway. Like, wait, that's not even. You didn't even try.
Jared from Subway Willis. What? What? His middle name's from Subway.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's a great Elway Williams, too. That's got a good flow to it.
Yeah, and like I said, you can call her Elle or Ellie, or hell, my mom's from the South. She might call her Ella Sue. Who knows?
Oh,
who knows?
Yeah, what's middle name?
I won't say the middle name just because I want there to be
some reveal.
Some things that just ours.
Yeah.
And I don't want people to be able to look her up, you know, and like be like that, you know, so that's fine. But
now here's
that's the thing.
A question.
Mm-hmm.
What are the odds of Dwarf Baby?
Ah, good question, my friend. It is right now. I was wrong. I thought you'd think I would know these types of things. I thought it was 25% chance dwarf, 75% chance tall.
Right.
I am wrong. I said that to the doctor and he's like, no.
He's like, no, that's the chance of it being a vertical horizon superfan.
Yeah.
25% vertical horizon, 75 Bahaman.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm fine with either of those choices.
Yeah.
Totally fine.
Yeah. I thought you said this was bad news.
Yeah. It is 50-50.
Holy shit.
Did not know that. So it's 50-50.
Is that across the board, or is that, is it case by case, the percentages based on the size of your mate?
How do I say this? It's, that's for just me and a tall woman. So if it's me and a dwarf woman, then I think, I could be wrong, if we have any geneticists listening, please correct me. Then I think it's 50% chance dwarf, 25% chance tall,
right?
And then 25% chance, and this is a horrible scenario that, and I'm sorry to bring a little bit of darkness into this, because but it's true. Some of my friends have actually gone through this, where if both parents give the dwarf gene, the child will not make it. But you won't find that out until real late in the pregnancy, and it's horrible, and it's heartbreaking.
Oh, man.
And it's awful. And some of my friends have gone through that, and it's just the worst thing ever. Thankfully, we don't really have a chance of that happening.
Good.
So
how will you tell in the sonogram updates that it's like, is there, do you see, you know, like, is
massive,
you
head. See her, no.
Massive head.
I mean, kind
of watching Simon Birch on
Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, first of all, how'd that Blu-ray player get up there? honey, you need to tell me some more things.
If you wanted to get this kinky, you should have just asked me.
Yeah, exactly. And then you find out, I'll get back to that, but you find out some other things where we've seen the movies where, like, it's the pregnant girl and she wants to have sex, and the guy's like, no, I don't want my dick to hit the baby in the head. There's literally no chance of that happening.
Says who?
Doctors.
What do they know?
I don't know if they've seen my dick.
Yeah,
just the way it goes, there's
okay, good.
There's no chance. You're not going to dent the baby's head. The baby's not going to come out with a mushroom cap on
Can
their
you
forehead.
Imagine?
So yeah, you're fine, guys.
Okay.
You're fine.
Now what?
So we find out via a new sonogram, and they can, technology is so amazing now, they can literally measure the arms and legs while the baby is still inside, and they can go like, yep, based on how long the arms are and the legs are and how big the head is, dwarf. Like,
holy shit.
My type of dwarfism, thankfully. Yes. My type of dwarfism. There's other types of dwarfism where you can't tell until sometimes years afterward. But so they'll be able to tell. I should know within a month of us recording this podcast.
That's exciting.
So, man. And I have no preference on that.
Yep.
It's whatever.
Yep.
It's fine. Obviously, if it comes out a little person, great.
Yeah.
I'm aware of that. I'm aware of that life. I'm okay with that, and I think I'm a model that would let her know that, yeah, you could still do stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You could still...
She would be more than fine if that's the
yeah,
case.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I've traveled the world. I've done some really cool stuff. I've done a zip line. You know, like, it's...
You've true... I mean, dude.
Swam with sharks.
First
scuba
pitches,
diving.
Sports,
first pitches.
Basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, dude. There's literally...
Did that.
You are a true poster child for this is not something that should hinder you in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And confidence-wise, I mean, like, having, again, like what we've talked about, your pops, the way he, you know, kind of handled that and guided you as far as, like, you know, dealing with whatever teasing was coming your way and just accepting yourself to
bring it on
so that you are accepted and making the jokes first. It's one thing that I was thinking about this a few weeks ago, and just I was maybe just talking to somebody about the podcast and just our friendship and how cool it is to have people in your life that you are so, like, just comfy and easy with that you literally know them inside and out, and you can, you know, almost finish sentences and just, but also know where the comfort level is so, you know, at such a high level. And I go, bet. And I was telling whoever this was, I go, Brad does a really good job around, and I don't even think about it anymore, but I started thinking about the first handful of times hanging out with you and just being around you and seeing how much you go out of your way to make other people at ease, because for me, it's just like
chill.
And even, you know, I would even say, like, even, you know, there wasn't like a grace period of like me needing to get used to being around a little person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was so, because I guess we just bonded on so many things so quickly, and it was just person on person. Yeah. But like, there are people that aren't that socially comfortable or comfortable in their own skin or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you recognize that. And this is just like comic actor instincts.
Yeah.
And you go out of your way to put people at ease.
Yeah.
Which
make
is,
a joke.
Which is easier said than done. And also, like, you don't have to do that because part of me, and this is what I was thinking about when I was talking about to somebody, I was like, I almost would get upset if they were upset or if they were weird about it. And I would be like, fucking get your shit together, man.
Right.
There's nothing. You have a problem if you aren't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I shouldn't have to go out of my way.
Right, exactly.
So why I was like, it's very cool that you, and I'm wondering has.
And thank you.
Yeah. But there's no part of you that's ever thought like, all right, I shouldn't have to go out of my way to make this person, because
it's just sort of natural. It's just sort of the way I've been taught and the sort of how I introduce myself to people now. So it's not an issue in my head. It's not something I ever constantly think about.
Right.
And I was thinking about this the other day, just now, like when my daughter grows up and if she goes to school and if she gets teased, she has me writing the comebacks for her. I'm like, oh, is this what fucking Jade said at school? Well, let me see. Oh,
you know, or you rolling up on a Funky Duck behind the kids on the bus. Or, hey, guess what, dude? Oh, my God. Getting a backpack, shaving your beard, getting on the bus, and beating out of these kids that are bullying your daughter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, no. And that's the thing.
My God, dude, can you imagine?
Yeah.
That is a great scene in a movie or a show where you're just like, you know, and your wife's like, what do you do? You're like, go down there and talk to the principal. You're like, or
I feel like
you in a montage, you shaving and dressing up like it's a fucking
this is a weird Adam Sandler movie come to life.
It is,
which I think now I'm gonna go pitch to Adam Sandler.
It sounds like an Adam Sandler movie that was a poster on the wall in Funny People,
right?
That he did, Big Dad or something, Big Daddy,
Big Little Dad or something like that,
Big Little Dad,
No, there's a million moments like that I'm thinking about and are rushing through my head, and I'm excited for all of them, man.
We should also mention that this will begin the transition of the podcast of you.
Yeah, and we've talked about this.
Yeah,
we've talked about this way before. So, yeah,
it should be the time to talk about it.
Yeah,
just to start the listeners on the path of adjusting your ears to one deep.
Yeah.
Baritone, testosterone-filled set of pipes.
Obviously, I love doing this. I love sitting down. I love talking to the guests. I love hanging out with you. I love doing all that. But like I said, we have discussed this before when we were starting to have kids. And thank you for bringing it up because it means you're thinking about it, which is cool. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to be that comic that is just gone. I don't want to be that dad that's gone. I don't want to be the guy that's like, I can't go to your thing because Dana Carvey only has an hour this week.
And this is the time.
And this is the time. And I say Dana because he's kind of an inspiration for this in a positive way, where he walked away from a lot of stuff so he could be a good dad.
And look at her now. It's like it's paying dividends. Like, he has such a good relationship
with
his sons. And
so... I'm going to be leaving the podcast. It's just because I want to be there. Yeah. I want to be there for my daughter. I want to have those moments. This is a business where you never say never. So I never want to say there's no chance in hell that I would ever be like
rejoin.
Yeah, because if it gets to a point,
because it's not stopping.
Yeah,
you know, I'm continuing it, and in what fashion we'll figure out, whether it's solo
co-hosts,
me and another guest, but and also open door always, like at any time.
Yeah,
you always have that, but there's a certain like level of openness and freedom that you want to be able to be all in as dad, and whether it's even like Jasmine wants to go out and do something, and there's an afternoon where we could do one or two or whatever, but it's like maybe I'm just sitting at home while Elway sleeps, or I'm taking her to go out while I do some errands,
or maybe this is when I sleep because I've heard that you don't.
Oh,
so this is when I'm gonna just take a time out.
Yeah, because that would not be good, because then if all your podcasts are on 2 hours of sleep and 10 minutes in, you pass out.
It might very well happen.
Yeah.
So, and I know where we are right now in our numbers with the podcast. So I'll say this, and you tell me what you think about this.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, we will edit this part out. I might be slightly OCD. I like nice round numbers. We're coming up on 500.
Yeah, we are.
I think we're at like 480 something right now. Yeah. How about 500?
Yeah, man.
I go to 500.
That would take us up to like December. So that's almost like right before the end of the year.
Yeah.
Because then we'd have some best ofs.
Yeah.
And that would kind of be it.
Yeah. And the baby's due on January 18th.
Whoa.
So that'd be pretty perfect. So
how about the last pod be live from the waiting room? Actually, live from the delivery room. Can we hook up a mic?
You just hear my wife yelling in the background, just like, shut up. Will you stop making
Jasmine,
Harrison
quiet,
Ford references?
Quiet. Jesus.
I'm shoving a head out of my uterus.
Oh, head out of the uterus. Dude, oh, they're playing at Coachella. Shut the fuck up.
So, yeah, I will be around until podcast 500.
I love that. By the way, that's a monumental number.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Not too many podcasts get to that
that's
number.
That's a very, like, that feels like mission accomplished.
We did something there.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of great guests, but like you said, it's not going to stop.
No.
You're going to continue the podcast.
Yep.
I will appear.
We put too much into it, and there's too much of a backing. There's too much.
Too much of a studio here in your house.
Yeah. So. What am I going to turn this into, another game room?
Yeah. Because downstairs, people have to your house. Downstairs is your game room.
There's a golden tea machine downstairs.
Yeah,
what am I going to do? Put another golden tea machine up here?
I mean. Now you say it like that.
I don't have that type of money.
But yeah, I won't say this comic's name because I don't want to act like I'm throwing him under the bus or saying he's a bad father, because I think he's an amazing father. But he told me one time that he doesn't remember the first 7 years of his daughter's life.
Whoa.
And that scared the fuck out of me.
From being just too active in other areas.
Too active, just going out. Touring, yeah. He had a couple TV shows at the time, so he was doing that, and then he had a podcast, so he was doing that, and I understand if some people say, hey, I got to go out there and make hay while the sun shines and work, that's fine, that's totally fine, it is your decision to do that, but I just want to be able to take time, I want to be a dad, they always say that they grow up too fast, and I want to be able to be there and enjoy every moment that I can, because I have to keep touring, that's how I make money. So I'm going to keep doing that, but I want to be able to, have that time to where I'm just like, yes, I don't have to worry about, like I said, someone's, like if we get a crazy good guest who's only there for an hour,
yeah,
and now, oh shit, I've got the kid, wife is chilling out today or it's her day off because I'm home. Like, I don't want to be scrambling.
Yep.
I just want to be able to focus. Be a dad. Hell, I'm going off the road for the first
time ever.
Yeah, for 3 months.
Wow.
3 months, I'm going to be off the road and just be dad. And I've read books. There's stuff about that and how it's important for you both parents to be there during that time, like really solidify that relationship. I can go into some bullshit about skin-to-skin contact, but whatever, it's fine. But yeah, I want to be there and I want to be available and I want to be 100% into that.
Well, I'm supportive of it, and I know that we're still going to, we got projects we're trying to jam on and that'll continue to happen.
And those it's not projects like this, will still happen.
Oh, yeah.
That stuff will still go down.
You'll still see us together in many fashions and going on podcasts and doing this. And
exactly.
You know, like things like Something's Burning, Bird Show, or just things like that where we're still, want to remain a fun package deal for opportunities. But
absolutely.
But I couldn't be more, it's like bittersweet because it's like, but also knowing that like if there was some weird rule where it was like, if you start a podcast and then you stop it, then that means the end of the friendship too.
Right. It's like,
then it'd be devastating. But that's not the case. And it's a completely valid and understanding. And me, I'm extremely compassionate, especially when it comes to family. And it's like, this is, and we've done so much.
Yeah.
So it's like, again, if this was like 35 eps in, I'd be like, come on, we haven't even fucking
Well, son of a bitch. It's we don't even have
a t-shirt yet, you know?
Yeah, we've talked to Oscar winners, we've talked to actors, comedians.
We went to Jason Derulo's mansion.
Yeah, I mean, we did that live shows at various comedy festivals and sometimes various countries, because I know we did one in Montreal.
Which won't stop either, because that'll be cool too, where it's almost like,
oh, we do a live player retires
and then we come back and do a show again.
We'll do our version of the big three.
Yeah.
Where it's like, they lost it. No, that was still nice to see them out there.
Yeah.
It'll be some version of that. So
also now it's, you know, this does raise the question, do I start auditioning new dwarves?
I swear, if Peter Dinklage is outside right now,
oh my God, there's only one way to truly end the friendship.
I'll stab him. I'll stab everyone.
I'll stab Splinter Jr., your future kid. I'll make a voodoo doll of Splinter Jr.
with a tail. It'll be accurate. I'll throw that around.
Well,
and that's the thing is, it's whatever you want it to be. Hell, if fans are out there and they have some ideas, tweet at you.
For sure, yeah.
If
email aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com if you got, because I've got a lot of ideas percolating on the direction to go in,
mm-hmm.
and I think they're all pretty fun, but definitely chime in, you know, because this is your show just as much as it is ours, but very pumped for you. Can't believe you're going to be a dad. That's really crazy to say out loud.
Yeah.
And it's good that it happens when you hear that news from people that you're like, good. Cause like, I got a buddy up in Seattle told me he was going to be a dad. And I was like, dude, I saw you puke in a car you were driving 6 weeks ago. This, I have child services on speed dial. This is not good.
Yeah.
But you are someone where it's like, it's only a matter of time. And you want people that you trust, that you would trust with your kid.
Yeah.
Now you're like, I would trust you with my kid.
Yeah.
Trust you with your own kid.
Exactly. So yeah. And thank you.
Yeah.
And, it is exciting. You asked if I had any preference for boy or girl. The only reason why I'm disappointed it's not a boy is because now can't share clothes. And
so funny.
That's a bummer. So I'm not going to be. We're not going to be able to double up outfits. we'll get her. We'll get her some good stuff.
Yeah, she'll be set up.
It's going to be great. I can't wait, man.
Congrats.
It's amazing. It's
next stage of life. You think about all the cool shit you've done and all the cool shit you're now going to get to do, but and seeing it through the eyes of a child.
Yeah, and it's my dad told me because I told him, we told the parents together, and my dad told me, he's like, yeah, I led a life, and then this is the most fucked up thing my dad ever said. It's hilarious. It's fucked up, and it's touching all at the same time. My dad told me one time. He goes, son, I didn't know what love was until you were born. And then I go, I have an older sister. He goes, exactly.
Good night, everybody.
Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right?
You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Meh, what's up, dog? This is your pal Bugs Bunny. Say, I got a question for you. Do you know who has the head of Elmer Fudd and the body of Foghorn Leghorn? Why, that's Adam Ray and Brad Williams. Ain't I a stinker?